From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, the science behind the fireworks that light up the 4th. Today, we'll start with the state's top news. Potential felony charges against Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. Yesterday, a special prosecutor said they are pursuing an indictment for security fraud. Today, Paxton spokesman Anthony Holm fired back.
From the onset, their intention appears to have been to try this case in the media, not the courtroom. Texans deserve better. We deserve cases tried in courthouses, not the press. These attacks on Ken Paxton just appear to be a political hit job in the media.
Last year, before he was elected, Paxton was fined $1,000 for advising investors without registering. In May, a judge widened the investigation. Yesterday, Special Prosecutor Kent Schaefer said Texas Rangers uncovered new evidence involving more than $100,000. Schaefer says he'll present evidence to a Collin County grand jury within a few weeks. Look up into the sky this holiday weekend and you'll certainly see some fireworks. But what goes into making these colorful displays? Amy Walker is a professor with the University of Texas at Dallas. She has her PhD in chemistry and she's here to explain. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
How old are fireworks?
So the first recorded instance of fireworks actually is almost 2,000 years old from China. And essentially somebody discovered gunpowder, which is a mixture of saltpeter, which chemically is called potassium nitrate, a little bit of sulfur, and a charcoal source. And they worked out that if you heated it up, it made this huge bang. They also discovered that if you put it in bamboo tubes and put it in a fire, you got firecrackers, which then means that they could ward away evil spirits by making lots and lots of noise. So this was the origin of firecrackers. And then it sort of moved slowly into Europe and sort of across the Arab countries until sort of the mid-1500s, 1700s. A lot of firework displays in Italy, but they weren't what you would expect. They didn't have a lot of color with them. That happened much later. And they originally started off as being for the rich and then slowly became for the masses.
And I know there's a large variety today, from bottle rockets to Roman candles, but what's inside your basic firecracker?
Okay, so there are two types of fireworks. There is your aerial firework, which is your skyrocket, and then there are what are called mortars, which actually sit in tubes, and they're the ones that you see mostly at firework displays. So they're built slightly differently. A skyrocket has, at the bottom of it, some gunpowder is sort of around the outside of a very narrow tube so that as the gunpowder goes off, it causes a lot of gas expansion. The air goes out of the bottom of the tube and lifts the rocket. If it's a mortar, in fact, the gunpowder first charge is on the outside of the firework. And the idea is that it's sitting in a tube very tightly and it just lifts it as that powder goes off. Then there's a secondary time delay fuse. Inside that, there's what's called a brake. And a brake has stars and burning material. And the stars are what makes the color, the sparkles, the sound, everything like that. And depending on how you lay out the stars, depending on how you do each of the different shapes, you can actually end up with different shapes of firework, different timings of firework, different sounds, all sorts of different things they can do.
Have the chemicals in fireworks changed much since they were invented?
Yes. There's actually a lot of research done in fireworks. Things like figuring out the colors and getting them so you can see them in the night sky. So a metal salt like table salt, sodium chloride, burns orange. I should probably not tell everybody to do this, but if you have a gas stove at home, take a little salt and put it into the flame, the blue flame, and you'll see it turns orange. That's actually the sodium getting excited and giving off this orange color. It's what you see in the streetlights as well.
Kids, don't try this at home.
No.
You need to have adults around.
Definitely have adults around.
What is it about fireworks that captivates us?
I think it's that you get the color, the sound, they just look spectacular. Who'd have ever thought that from a simple firecracker, you can get to all of these amazing shapes, these flowers and Roman candles and different effects? And, you know, it's been worked on for a long time, 2,000 years.
Amy Walker is an associate professor of materials science and engineering at UT Dallas. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
You can check out some of the best and brightest shows in North Texas at artandseek.org. Today on Think, a television historian talked about the impact a fake news show has had on the real news. In August, Jon Stewart will leave The Daily Show, the satirical news program he's hosted since 1999. Chris Boyd talked to Charles Ponce de Leon about how Stewart changed the game.
In the course of the program, in the course of some of those interviews, he's really had occasion to really fill a void that appeared when the cable news channels went off in the direction that they did in the early 2000s of focusing on fewer stories tailored for your target audience, and then in the evening in particular, putting on people who express opinion. There was a real void that appeared in terms of addressing issues. And of course, with The Daily Show, the big issue was the whole Iraq war. There was a consensus in the mainstream media and on television in particular, you know, with the cable news channels to not raise that many questions and want to be good team players. And it was Stewart who sort of saw that and called it out and gained a lot of credibility himself for doing that. And that in turn has allowed him to do that with regard to lots of other issues.
Charles Ponce de Leon's book is called That's the Way It Is, A History of Television News in America. Think re-airs tonight at 10, or you can listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. The evening, well, it should be mostly cloudy with a low around 77. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, a slight chance for showers with a high near 94. Tomorrow night, much of the same, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of storms with a low near 76. It's currently 92 degrees in Dallas, 93 in Fort Worth, 91 in Tyler, and 92 in Wichita Falls. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.